Gut, ganz herzlichen Dank. Und jetzt kommt heute Abend der letzte Redner, Peter Schwarz. Das ist
His interests include the Enlightenment as historical event and unfinished process, European neoclassicism and modernism, American, French, Dutch and Japanese literature, early film and photography, the critical work of the Frankfurt School, literary and musical folk genres, visual propaganda and the science of culture, Kulturwissenschaft of the art historian Abby Warburg and his circle. In today's talk, Peter uses the workshop films to discuss the historical evolution of psychotechnology. He outlines the iconographic history of images of work and their ideological parameters, and indeed, the ideological parameters of image making and image technology. Please join me in welcoming Peter Schwarz.
Thank you. Kann ich nicht.
Nee. Nee.
Ich möchte denen danken, die mich eingeladen haben. Ich möchte vor allen Dingen Greg Williams anfangen. Die haben mich zur Boston-Konferenz eingeladen. Und das hat dazu geführt, dass ich jetzt hier
bei Antje Ehmann, Annika Kuhnmann und Katrin Klingern. I'd like to thank also the whole team at the HKW for their amazing work. They've kept themselves mostly invisible, but I think that what they have done is visible in everything we have done for the past 3 days. I have written and will deliver my talk in German. I'm a Germanist, Ehrensache, but I also wrote the English translation, so you'll be getting me authentically on both channels. Also, das Bild. Jedes Bild lässt den Betrachter wissen, wie er es anzuschauen hat. Und das heißt
image, any image lets the observer know how he has to look at it. And this not only in the sense of the apparatus theory, where the viewer has to locate themselves visually and ideologically as a spectator, but the image also lets the observer know how they shall interpret the image. That is, among other things, how the observer has to refer the illusory character of the image to their sense of reality as well as their actions. This applies to any work of art, for every man-made set of characters. Any film, any novel contains, or rather consists of hints as to how it should be read as a set of signs. It clarifies that it has to be read, that it has only an illusory character that temporarily claims the same rights as reality, a piece of illusion which claims to have been extracted from life while simultaneously being based on life. You could take that constructivist approach, regard it as a social covenant. The reader or the viewer accepts the conditions of the artwork for the sake of being able to enjoy its benefits, fully cognizant that this is a contingent agreement and that potentially they are free to cancel the contract. It's like a pact with the devil. After all, this is also one possible reading of the bet in Goethe's Faust. It's an agreement with the need for illusion, the game, the signification. But whether it is a social covenant or a pact with the devil, we are not free to leave it. These paradigms fail to reflect the fact that we are included in social, linguistic and media systems and that their control, strength and power lines only make us human beings. They construct us semiotically and socially before we are able to agree with them, let alone challenge them. These rules change over time. They must be learned and then become something that is self-evident. They change together with the systems which they structure and by which they are being structured. The political, the social, the media system. These rules may be called software, to use an expression created by the media theorist Michael Giesecke, quote-unquote, in the short or long run, all human communities, couple relationships, families, institutions, or states are imbued with patterns of behavior. Soon, all participants expect this, sometimes in more, sometimes less articulated manner, at other times barely conscious. Only when such regularities are present and stored as information in the minds of the stakeholders can these communities sustain themselves and set themselves apart from the environment. Then, the information stored can act as programs that can coordinate the actions and experiences of the individual and the community. We can refer to this type of information as a software, quote unquote. We all know how often we need to update computer software and how soon and how amazingly thorough we forget yesterday's operating system or universe. Now, conversely, the same applies to reading images. Allow me to show this by using the example of a historical sequence of images of the work. I want to recall a series of obsolete programs and to represent the diversity of visual idioms, which is very conspicuous, of the labor project and put it into the context of a series of historical representations of labor in order to examine the way in which this project challenges the pictorial tradition in a rather graphic way. Roman calendars are among the earliest images of work in Europe. Starting from around the 2nd century BC, the cyclical change throughout the year in the relationship between man and nature is depicted by typical work situations, especially of an agricultural nature, in an allegorical manner, represented as month views or pictures or month work paired with signs of the zodiac to express a calendar time which formalizes itself at that point in time. In the Middle Ages, the allegorical scope of the relationship, let me show you an image. The allegorical scope of the relationship between man and nature in the Middle Ages and work was extended to the relationship with the Christian God, whereby the course of time marked by the month pictures, timing, mutatis mutandis, to the course of the liturgical year. These were not realistic images of the work. Instead, they were typified, allegorical images. Their function was locating the place of man within a religious imaginary universe in relation to God, nature, time, and eternity. Let me give you a few examples. The month of March is represented by the cutting of the vines at the top here, whereas the male goat figures as the sign of the zodiac. In June, you've got mowing with the cancer sign, the harvest in July featuring lion, and in August you've got threshing featuring Virgo. Left-hand side, Virgo, threshing, right-hand side. As you can see, these images are in books of hours or breviaries, i.e. in faith-based script books whose main concern was structuring liturgical time. This program of images changes with the loosening of the medieval world view, i.e. with book printing, humanism, and the emerging challenging of the feudal social relations through the political and cultural rising and the books written by the Third Estate. In the 16th century, the tradition of the month pictures thus dissolves into the iconography of the Estates Manual, a more socially book critical genre, the first example of which is deemed to be the Book of the Estates by Jost Ammann and Hans Sachs, published in 1568. The iconographic link is The Dance of the Death by Hans Urban the Younger, first printed in 1538 in Lyon in book form. In this woodcut series of pictures, the old theological principle of order is still on display. Holbein begins with Adam and Eve's expulsion from paradise. The work is thus understood as a result of this very expulsion. In Ammann, Sachs and Holbein, readings of images is controlled by emblematic headers and footers, and the behavior of the types of people in the Christian sense is occasionally moralized. But the professions depicted are not agrarian, but predominantly middle-class urbanites, and their representation varies between a subtle realism and an allegorical typification, which has divorced itself from astrology and the annual rhythm. In these early products of the new book medium, the term work or labor is no longer primarily the confirmation of a good divine order, but instead it serves the articulation of a notion of a caste society or a state society which, in line with its bourgeois origin, incurs slightly critical undertones. Death swings its scythe in an egalitarian manner. Monks and noblemen are no longer always the epitome of virtue or of nobility of the soul. the culturally accepted interpretation pattern, that line, the semantic representation of labor, the new software for processing of the term of work, the new take on work. Now, all of this is thus rather socio-cosmologically more secular than divine. The topologies thereby generated are human topologies, not a sign of the bond of man to God. So, it's a take, a shot, a take. In German, that's why I keep saying take and shot, has a twofold sense. In English, the term is ambiguous. A single shot of labor thus describes both the principal form of the restriction of the various project videos as well as the ambition of the overall project to adopt a new perspective on the topic of work. I would like to add another nuance to all of this. Each take within the meaning of cinematographic recording or shot, every take implicitly includes not only a certain position in the sense of social political opinion, be it symptomatic or causal, it can also be interpreted as a take in a third sense, which was very much en vogue in applied... German is a very complicated language, says the speaker. Which was very much en vogue in applied psychology work in Germany and Russia of the 1920s and 1930s, with serious political consequences. I refer to the take in the socio-psychological sense of attitude, a take on something, and you adjust yourself to something, or more precisely, as something that can be constructed according to a plan, something that adjusts someone to something, especially in a visual imaginary sense. The historical fact of this type of adjustment, the German-American labor psychologist and psychotechnician Hugo Münsterberg is generally regarded as the first film theorist, and that already indicates that the third take or type adjustment is related to the first two takes. It appears that this adjustment is what Giesecke calls a software. It's a socially constructed behavior pattern, a historically contingent accumulation of regularities that then act as programs that coordinate the actions and experiences of the individual and the community. It is these regularities that allow us to understand how each typical situation, including, of course, the viewing of images, in this case, images of labor, is to be considered cognitively and operationally. This is exactly what is observed in the transition from the medieval to the monthly pictures in estate books of the early modern period, coupled with the epoch-making media transition from the manuscript to the book, a change of attitude, a change of take, a software upgrade. In the book Hedmenslig Nop Life, published in 1694, which is a collection of 100 emblematic professions, the Amsterdam engraver and his son, Caspar, rely on the topic of the old versions of estate books, but with significant changes. Holban and Amann arranged the order of their professional representations in a socially descending manner. After Adam and Eve, Holbein first chose the Pope, then the Emperor and the King, then the lesser nobility and clergy, doctors and merchants, etc. Finally, people ploughing fields and Judgment Day. Amann omits Judgment Day, Adam and Eve, and begins with the church, then with a secular hierarchy, and then passes through a number of middle-class professions without assigning them to estates or trades, and ends with musicians and fools. Luyken omits Pope, Emperor, and King entirely and structures his 100 occupations in an ascending order rather based on thematic structure than on estates. First food producers, bakers, millers, hunters, then craftsmen, basket maker, cooper, blacksmith, sailor, and land worker, cultural workers, school, like educator, musician, painter, last but not least, merchant, pharmacist, surgeon, and gravedigger. I see again the blacksmith. Or let me show you again the blacksmith. Oh, that was Brouwer, so this was the blacksmith. Let me show you again the blacksmith, because this becomes emblematic later in a way that will make the whole paradigm comparable in a synoptic manner. The image array, the way in which it's arranged, and the emblematic the emblematic lines here let you know that still there's somewhat a resonance of the Christian memento mori. But in a pirated version of the next year, the verses are rewritten from divine to secular on the picture boards, rearranged in a new, in an alphabetical order. They are all displayed in the context of urban street life or in front of doors and windows with a view on city life. So from the estate system turns into an encyclopedia, corporis cosmos turns into bourgeois republic. The encyclopedic attitude rapidly spreads thereafter. For example, in the image part of the Encyclopédie of D'Alembert by Diderot, where the panels for the presentation of the métier are marked by the diagrammatic tearing apart of the work situations. Here, for instance, you've got the panel of the Confiseur, where the top displays the confectionery. Confectionery. And at the bottom, you get the tools used there in an analytical display. Again, forging, blacksmith work. And upon closer inspection of the Encyclopédie, it turns out that the software serves the setting required by the image. It obviously serves the enlightened harnessing of the word. Gone is any relation to the divine order, the caste system. The doors are open to modernity. Now, let me skip the presentation of the work in the 19th century for time reasons, because it's a very complicated issue. I'm sorry about this. And it was, in terms of labor, it was not such an interesting century. And that finally brings us to film. So the proto-kinematographic work by Etienne Jules Marais and Edward Neubitsch at the end of the 19th century actually only towards the end of the 19th century, they only foray into the world of work occasionally, similar to the blacksmith in Muybridge, who stands without work where indexing the estates and technical interest. All we are left with is actually only a quasi-pornographic motion study. Marais' experiments in the 1890s on muscle fatigue in work processes were, however, continued with the support of the French army. So with the financial support and also by means of a model, with the support of the French army, by his assistant, Georges Dumigny, and other co-workers. This marks the beginning of the interaction of cinema, work performance, research, and military, which Haroun Farrokhi examines in images of the world and inscriptions of the war and other works. It's not surprising that Marais' first application of the chronophotography focusing on the analysis of work processes was dedicated to the blacksmith trade. One of the very first films by Thomas Edison in 1893 staged forging or blacksmith work in a pretty nostalgic manner, which was more reminiscent of the English Book of Trades or Estates than of Marais or Muybridge's motion analysis, but concerning the kinematic presentation of the work, Dumigny prevailed. This is reflected in particular in the socialist propaganda on the left and right-hand side of the 1920s of the last century, which, as we all know, revolves around the subject of work and ultimately results in a thorough militarization of all aspects of life. Left, right. During this time, the blacksmith takes on a privileged position as a metonym for industrial work in the socialist imagination. Here is his hammer and the sickle. Most propaganda images of work and industry were anything but modern, so hammer and scythe. In this ideological framework, their romantic lack of realism allowed their activation as icons. The smith breaks the chains of the workers of the world, or he produces weapons for the fight. Or here. Left and right again. Here there is a farmer with a scythe. This is how technically contemporary work is shown. Or rather, in a different way, particularly from the mid-20s, with Werthoff, for example. The new economic plan attitude is extremely telling in itself. The work is still heroic, but now and collectively and full of pride, featuring the latest technology. So, again, we've got the hammer and the scythe. Werthoff's steelworkers show a certain proximity to the tables of the encyclopedia, at least in my opinion. This is probably due to the common origin of the social, from the social and technical demands of enlightenment, as well as from social engineering. Here and there is the idea of rational design of the entire human world, which is not limited to the regulation of social and labor relations, but rather more also considers the interactions with media systems and spiritual education, intellectual education. The experience of the last century have made it abundantly clear how such a utopian might become dystopian, how enlightenment can become the opposite. The recommendations by Jean-Jacques Rousseau concerning social engineering, social technique, make us ponder just like Hugo Münsterberg back in 1914. That's the book, Grundzüge der Psychotechnik. The psychotechnik is the science of the practical application of the psychology in the service of culture tasks. The teacher wants to model the child's mind and put it to service of certain cultural tasks. The businessman wants to work the imagination of his customers in order to send them on a shopping spree. The manufacturer wants to treat his workers so that they will want to deliver maximum output and effort. The politician wants to influence the souls of the masses so that they are willing to take on their plans. It is the object of industrial psychotechnik to explain what mental processes may be eligible here and what influences will be necessary in order to achieve the desired end result, quote unquote. It's sure enough who wants to have those final results and who is supposed to be influenced to this effect. Unlike Rousseau, we see Münsterberg as a technocratic utopia in which the composition is shaped and controlled by an elite. The composition of the masses, that is. Now, there was a Soviet writer who depicted how this can go wrong. His nightmare vision of the controlling, omniscient, propaganda-imbued state, along with robotic workforce, is known to be a satire on the state-supported work rationalization program of the Soviet Taylorist Alexei Gustev, whose main term, Ustanovka, is translated rather literally by Münsterberg using the term attitude. Owen Jakobsen uses the same word, Ustanovka, in order to translate the attitude or take. Like the German word, the Russian word can designate the structure of all parts in a system and its external orientation. The fact that the Gustav's So this really owes a lot of a lot to the CIT work. This is one, and this is another one from a sequence at Verkhov. The work cadets are being trained at the CIT. So we know the sequence here, the pictorial tradition that comes from this shot, turning the social realist figure of the heroic worker, peasant, soldier, someone who shoulders tools and seen from the frog perspective, proudly looks at the symbolic daybreak of the next utopia. Gustav's program adds something new, however, a proto-kinetic feedback. A proto-kinetic feedback loop, which now not only gives the employer the possibility to make scheduled work processes more ergonomic, but which assigns the workers themselves the task of finding the optimum physical and psychological attitude for themselves by means of self-comparison with the images of their own work process. In the political realm, a similar feedback loop is used left and right in order to involve the viewer in an entanglement of implicit lines of visions, a braid or entanglement which analogizes the relationship of the working subject to their work, of the political subject to the authority of the state and the utopia guaranteed by the latter, and of the media user subject to the current media technology. Namely, the reason for all this is to make this subject maximally amenable to certain political and economic purposes. In the visual propaganda of the interwar period, and both utopia and authority are principally located in the off. The view of the workers, farmers, soldiers, subject shown in the image anchors the whole socio-political order in a signifier which is only ever hinted at, or moreover, the order is legitimized by a chain of signifiers composed by the observer's glance relay on the worker's image from the worker to the masses, from the masses to the Führer, from the Führer to the utopian future. Here, the viewer's gaze is constantly refers to something that he has always denied. The shot of the desiring subject always lacks the countershot of the popular, of the object of desire. As a consequence, our attitude is changed to an open rationality, which justifies even extremely bad approaches adopted. The eternal missing link attracts us like a magnet. This image is an ailing tradition, but it is not dead. The open time horizon in the off, the hidden entity which provides meaning indicated in the absence of the countershot, has become less utopian. The visual instructions on the proper attitude in view of new equipment no longer directly ideologically. But the image type remains idiomatic, or rather cliched. And this is the point at which the valorization of the Eman Farrokhi labor project has to be deployed, because if art has the purpose of reversing any habituation, which, according to Viktor Shklovsky, devours, quote-unquote, works furniture his own way, wife and the fear of war, end of quote, let us use Shklovsky's words, art exists so we, quote, regain the sensation of life so that we feel things, to make the stone stony, to impart the sensation of things, not as they are known, but as they are being perceived. End of quote. So if we want to understand art as rogue, better software innovation, then we can appreciate the entire labor project as an art of the highest order. After all, the history which I just outlined shows that the attitudes of the project participants in the sense of shots or takes do not impose upon the viewers a certain attitude within the instrumental meaning of Münzerberg, Marburg, Gustav. Rather, they prepare us for a more intelligent amazement, critical openness. Although this is still the master plan for a behavioristic blueprint, a program, yet it is still different. The videos break. The project breaks with the entire tradition of labor representations, which I've just spelled out. More specifically, they break with the cinematographic tradition whose ideological ladenness concerns us now perhaps even more than the medieval month pictures. Almost all workshop videos, and especially the entire multi-perspective project, leave the viewer's line of vision and thus the importance of what is seen open to interpretation on principle. The attitude which the project takes on work, so its take on work, does not allow its constituent shots or takes to become the attitude of humans with regard to their work. This is a consequence of the formal restrictions which define the project. The condition, one shot only, one take only, precludes almost any possibility to intervene in the interpretation by editing things, save for, or with the exception of, what Eisenstein called in editing during the shot, as well as the choice of the beginning and the end of the recording. The attention of the viewer cannot be directed, the plot cannot be interpreted, comparison cannot be made by editing. This can only be achieved by framing and camera movements. Here, it is striking how often the videos leave essential things relegated to the off, an off, which has very different connotations than before. each of these individual shots necessarily lacks the second or third shot. They lack the counter shot. And contrary to the ideologically charged or laden montage of the early 20th century, it is not occupied with work equipment that has to be used, implicit utopias that have to be achieved, leaders that have to be obeyed. Instead, it covers people who are granted the dignity of being thus. The many close-ups with a static camera, for instance. First, they relegate the bulk of an optically and acoustically complex environment visually to the off. They sensitize the viewer for evidence of previously unknown work and lifestyles, and also for a kind of acoustic composition in the depth. The repeated viewing of these effects prepares us for curiosity. Let's put this in an anecdotal manner. Again and again, I ask myself, what's happening? What's going on? While I look for clues to understand circumstances that have not been shown. And regardless whether the shot allows to get a glimpse of it or not, just such as in Temla Atwala's The Block, a possible beggar becomes a seller through a panning view of the camera, or the slowly developed, wise-looking face of the Vietnamese woodcutter Huang Mai Nguyen seems to be in line with his sentences, yet in discord with his occupation, so it seems incongruent with his occupation. This makes it clear to me that I've just observed people for whom this secret is their daily lives, their respective speciality, their work, and that I have observed them with a share of something else. This effect becomes even more so in the films of workers leaving their workplaces. I have no idea what they were doing in each of the buildings they're about to leave, probably over the last 8 hours of their lives, just as I had no clues as to Florenza Adpersia's dry cleaner in Buenos Aires, and as to what he was thinking, what he thinks, and whether and why he really is this sullen, and why he has this sullen look. And I know, this is what I consciously become aware of, I know that I have no idea. Apart from that, we've got 13 or 14 different presentation modes. This compounded by the variety of presentation modes, 14 different exhibitions and 14 art venues and a website offering contexts and categories, but which does not impose any trajects, does not allow a single shot, a single take on the shot, on the topic. Rather favoring a kind of aleatoric editing right across the whole project, resulting in the recognition that the project is collaborative in many different senses. So it's a kind of collective collaboration and its composition. My personal assembly of the composite film of the world's work, this global seed bank of images of work collectively in both its sources and also in its compilation, is necessarily different than that of any other spectation. And that begs the most important question for me. What does this world look like for you? What was an assertion in earlier image types is now welcomed as a question. The films invite us to recognize the previously unknown without having to reject wholesale what has been already recognized. The stone is being made stony, and we understand some of the work of the man who has to lift it. Of course, this formal uncertainty can also lead to a situation where the audience is not quite sure what the respective film is all about. During the Boston conference, I noticed how often the participant could not even agree on what was really going on in certain videos, let alone how to assess it politically or sociologically or morally. In the film Garbage Choir, for example, to me it seemed at first obvious that it must have been an official event of the municipal kind of utility company, municipal waste disposal company, and I found it terrible. I thought it was terrible that the pride of the people, which was harnessed for the purposes of municipal propaganda purposes, but during the discussion it turned out that the concert had been self-organized and carried out with great joy, and that the song was historically a protest song. So that was my prediction. But I was being put right, I was being corrected by Antje Immann and Jose Gatti, not through the film. Now, when André Bazin, the proponents of in-depth composition, believe that the montage should actually be banned because it directs the viewer's attention in a controlling manner, it may even turn out to be a disadvantage that the attention of the viewer rambles on and gets lost on personal trajectories and projections, or that sometimes the viewer is simply wrong. Then again, not every certainty is preferably to every mistake. Again, to quote Goethe, man errs as long as he strives. The entire project is an invitation to err, and like the Faustian pact with the devil, it essentially insists on never being quite completed. One final example of the blacksmith work I want to show you is a farewell video of the Cairo workshop. It is open to all sides and thus illustrates the difference to earlier shots on labor, Iron Curtain by Catherine Duking Comfort.
I'm going to go to the hospital.